Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Star Center Olympus, where we assemble monthly to explore the vast spiritual legacy bequeathed to us through the Unarian revelations. I am Hercules Invictus. The Unarius Academy of Science represents a vast spiritual organization of highly evolved beings, generically referred to as the Unarius Brothers, whose teachings are channeled by Ernest and Ruth Norman and are disseminated by the Academy. Echoes of the Olympians reverberate throughout the vast Unarius cosmology. The first inspired tome penned by Ernest L. Norman was titled The Elysium. The five volumes of the Pulse of the Creation series, which contain many of the Unarian core teachings, are titled The Voice of Venus, The Voice of Eros, The Voice of Hermes, The Voice of Orion, The Voice of Neus, Elysium, and Unarius. Classical columns and Hellenic statuary grace the public areas of the Unarius building to honor the Golden Age of Greece. And in the Unarius Academy of Sciences Star Center, a mural commemorates fabled Atlantis at the apex of her glory. These Olympian elements first drew my attention to Unarius, but the greater my exposure to this organization, the more impressed I've become at the depth and vastness of Unarius' cosmic vision, the positivity of their message, and their dedication to continuing the work of their founders. Mount Olympus greatly honors the vast contribution of the Unarius Brothers and the Unarius Academy of Science to the evolution of human consciousness. We are currently building bridges to the Golden Age light that shines brightly through their collected lore. Tonight, I'm very honored to have with me Unarians Jack and Celeste Pell, and we're going to be discussing the Cosmic Curriculum for Humanity. Greetings and welcome, Celeste and Jack. How are you?
Doing just fine. To hear your voice, Hercules.
Yes, yes. I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
I'm glad to have you here. I'm a little off today, so forgive my stammering occasionally. I'm really looking forward to exploring this particular topic, and so I guess I'll just start. If we're here to learn, of all the places in the cosmos that we can incarnate to learn, why would we select Earth?
Well, interesting topic that we talk about on occasion in our classes, and the interesting thing is that we don't know if we're selected. We select this place because we basically, know that we attract ourselves from what we are from our past experiences. So we'll have a rapport with the people that we incarnate into a family with either mother, father, and somebody that's been, maybe your father was your girlfriend in another life. It's interesting how we switch the roles and these things happen. So we're kind of attracted. And many people do say, I chose this place and I'm here to do a certain thing. But we've come to know that really most of it is, it's kind of an unavoidable attraction. Now, of course, the exception would be the master teachers. Like Mozart, he obviously would come into a musical family, and some of the others as well who had a higher development in there. Clearly not your average person.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, if we would delve into the energy science that Unarius teaches, the interdimensional physics of energy, you understand that everything is energy, and our energy body or psychic body has a base fundamental frequency made up of all the conglomeration of waveforms from all the thousands of past lifetimes we've lived. So that's what, when Jack says we attract ourselves, it's based on that very intricate complex of waveforms that is part of our psychic body. And in particular, for those of us who are Unarian students, we were in between lives, given guidance in the spiritual realms by our teachers and guides, the Aeneas Brotherhood, and they helped us to see that we needed to incarnate on Earth at this time, particularly to come together as a group to work out our shared group karma, because we were involved in some of the machinations that caused the downfall of civilizations like Lemuria and Atlantis on this planet. So by us coming and working out together and working out our individual karma, we're helping collectively to move the Earth forward to our positive future at this time.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that important element of the attraction being the karmic situation between who you're in the family with and who you also grow up with and have as friends. But that's not a bad thing, because the idea that we learn is to take advantage of the situation, and as Celeste was already talking about, you know, work that out, and then you've got an excellent opportunity that's put in front of you, and you take advantage of the situation and you learn.
All right. So if I'm to understand correctly, for most humanity, it's an automatic process, and it depends on, you know, where you happen to be attracted, for whatever reasons you're attracted and what you need to learn and to work out. But for some people, like Mozart, for example, or for people who are here to the organizationally, like as a group, to do specific things, and there isn't really choice involved. It's a matter of frequency. Did I understand that correctly?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, a master, because they're a master, has the ability to work with the energy and the cycles, we call it, like Jack said, a Mozart to incarnate, because he wanted to bring through music that had a more positive, higher bias to it. And to facilitate that, he incarnated with a family that was musical, but no doubt there was also a familiarity. There was some kind of connection from previous past lives in order for them to have that frequency rapport together, to have that bond.
Thank you, Celeste. Jack, would you like to expand on that?
Maybe one little point.
Okay.
You may not know, just because I brought out a famous person like Mozart, there's many of these teachers that have come that are capable of doing a certain job when they come to incarnate. And, you know, you may not have heard of them, but they've done the same thing. They set it up, as we like to call it, where they came in and worked with a certain field and advanced it forward by bringing some of the higher concepts. And so it's not necessarily just the famous people like Tesla or our co-founders.
That's an important thing to realize, that a lot of times things move forward behind the scenes and not too visibly. So we remember the names of those who attracted public attention, but there are so many people working on things here, kind of like through the process of their living and what they do, that yes, we should acknowledge them in some way as well. Now, one of the things we've discussed quite a bit over the years is that the more you do spiritual work, the more you become aware that time, as it's understood in our culture, is an illusion, that the time exists, but not as we believe it to exist. Incarnationally, does this affect anything? Like, are there different timelines where somebody would go, or you can incarnate at any point in history where you need to be to learn the lessons or perform the tasks that you need to perform?
Well, we can't incarnate backwards. The infinite is continually moving forward and regenerating new positive energies. But when you become a student of past life therapy, you can become aware of that you are reliving a past lifetime of Atlantis or Greece or whatever it is, and learn from that, even though it could have happened centuries ago, you still have an opportunity to learn a lesson from that time. And also on the flip side of that, people that feel they are, you know, maybe back in a certain time period, and for them it's very real, their cult gets frantic because they're not able to separate and realize they're lacking that integration with their higher self to realize that those are past life memories that are so strong in their present consciousness. They think it's reality now and it's past life memories.
Jack, thank you, Celeste. Jack?
Well, yeah, to elaborate on that, I don't know. That was pretty good.
What?
I guess the other aspect of it is, these things are energy. So that energy is really, in a certain cycle, has already occurred. So, and it stays within us. So we can have a really good memory of that because this is something that we've gone through and it stays with us. It's in our psychic anatomy. And so to differentiate that is an interesting thing because, you know, one of the things that we're doing here with learning to think like energy and such with these teachings that we have here, are, it's a very different way of thinking.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost the reverse of materialism. You're now thinking instead of everything happened to you, there would be the reverse concept of you being the reason everything's happening or the cause from the past, and you're attracting these sort of things energy-wise. So, the same thing with when you see something from the past. It can be real. I mean, you can have very detailed remembrances, and that's why sometimes I think people think it's so real and you can go back.
But it's all happening in the here and now. You might resonate or reverberate with something that happened before and it might color your life, but everything, we are here and it is now, which I guess can be said at any point in time.
Well, that's the process of mental attunement, we call it, where whatever's going on in your life in the present, it rings through your psychic body and brings up past life memories, and the subconscious portion of your mind, which oscillates with the mental consciousness portion of your, this is your higher mind. It's not part of your physical mind, your true energy, body, mind. And that rings a past life memory, whether people are conscious of it or not. So something traumatic happens to someone. The reason it's traumatic is not just necessarily because of the present, because it's harmonically ringing with every similar experience they've had in previous lifetimes and bringing that all back in terms of the emotion or even the thought that are negative or fears that they have at the time. And so it can seem even more intense because the present is a regeneration of the past.
Wow. That is a lot to contemplate and digest. So as Jack said, we are responsible for everything that happens to us. And that's one of the things I really like about Unarius. Unarius has been consistent in, you know, bringing that point home that, you know, you're responsible for the world you find yourself in.
Yes. And why is it good to think that way? Because then you can, when you're taking personal responsibility for things that have happened in your past, that you can now do something about them. You can take that information, and it's the first step in having something change. You know, for say you have some experience that's unpleasant, obviously, you know, it's hard to not want to change the happy stuff, right? But something's there that's negative, well, that's also something to be looked at and worked out. So you start saying, oh, that my boss hates me, when you quit pointing at him and saying he's an SOB and think, well, I was an SOB to this guy in the past. You know, I'm just using that as an example. or did something else that generated that hostility. You know, the fellow has a psychic memory, but not a very clear one, just knows he doesn't like me from something that I've done. So when you turn that around and take that into your head and say, well, what did I do? You know, it starts a lot of things rolling, and you can change it, you know, because I've experienced that. I've had a couple of interesting run-ins with my bosses. So, just taking that first step of saying, well, what did I do? You know, how come I'm seeing this? So, yeah.
Thank you, Jack. Celeste, do you want to elaborate and expand on that?
No, I think he did good.
He did.
Fine.
Okay, so onwards. Now, here we are in a very strange here and now. You know, it seems like we're all from new reality at times. Why? And yes, I know I take responsibility for everything I see, and I use it as a mirror to explore myself. But generally, what are we all doing here in this very strange time? Like, what are some of the lessons we can learn from it?
Well, again, we're all here because we're all relative frequency-wise, not just to the planet, but each other.
Mm-hmm.
And if people have listened to previous podcasts where we've talked about that we've actually had live civilizations on other planets in our universe, particularly in the Orion Nebula, a very diabolical society that existed 800,000 to 500,000 years ago and advanced technologically but virtually retarded. And that planet went out and conquered, I believe, 100 planets that became part of the Orion Empire. And there was a wide range of different peoples that lived on those different planets, you know, different races, ethnic groups, different development, people that were more primitive. And because we were all together at that time, well, guess what? We have this shared karma that we're all here representative of those different worlds here again on this planet at this time as opportunity to work out karma together and why there's still wars and like the conflict in the Mideast that goes back centuries in the Mideast, but it could even go back to other planets where the different factions lived at that time. So we have a long history, not just on this planet, but on other worlds as well.
Thank you. And that's one of our amazing things about Unarius is that the vast scope of the teachings, you know, in space and time are like mind-boggling. Jack, would you care to expand on that?
Yeah, when Celeste was talking about larger things, I guess you could say, you know, I've mentioned about how you and your cycle, or we call them cycles where we get influence from the past. And to elaborate on that is for a lot of times us here in our classes, we together about, okay, for something I just used recently, like this time of year, a lot of times we talk about Egypt, and not present-day Egypt, but obviously back in Akhenaten's time, Amenhotep, you know, all these other incarnations that we've had, you know, had ships up, yeah. And what we notice a lot of times is even though we're working locally here and we have recognitions about what we've did, and that's why we're experiencing, you know, these things to talk about, we would notice, we'd come home and turn on the TV and there would be a show about Egypt on, go to another channel the next day, there's another thing about Egypt. So, and I've seen it three, sometimes four times on the different places. And to me, that's just shows how there's a larger thing going on. Just because we're talking Egypt doesn't mean it's not influencing a lot or a lot of the planet, actually, because we're seeing it now in a big way. And a lot of people experience it. So that energy just doesn't come back for just me or you, you know. It was a large cycle and, you know, it's a civilization, basically. And one thing about these cycles, if they come back, it's because they're not rectified, they're not worked out. they will quit coming back and being an influence when we don't have anything left to do in that particular, from that particular past. And that would be a wonderful thing. You know, you really make some progress if you worked out an entire, you know, number of incarnations like that. But that's what it's all about. You know, these teachings, the Aenarius teachings are all about moving forward. Any of these things we talk about there, the whole idea is to clean up your act psychically. Get yourself good and ready, you know, learn something and move on to the next thing and learn something more. Keep on learning. You know, you talked about that. What are we doing here? I love it where I've read somewhere that each lifetime, in one of the Aenarius, which each lifetime is a day in school. Like a day in school,
mm-hmm.
We're here to learn. You know, we're here to learn about ourselves, so we can, you know, add that to our psychic bank of good things and move onward.
Thank you. That's the perfect reading.
Well, I have actually something else I wanted to add.
Okay.
We've stated it before, but when you brought up in particular, gosh, what's going on in the world right now? Just craziness with the politics, the pandemic, the environmental issues, like we talked about, the warring. And it's kind of a culmination of all the negative cycles, because there's a master plan set up from the higher spiritual realms and millions of advanced beings that have been working with us for millions of years, culmination to move planet Earth into a more positive golden age. And in order for that to happen, all the old energies have to be expressed and expended. So it's like a culmination of all these cycles coming in together at once, kind of speeded up. And it's quite a challenge living through it. And I really appreciate having Aenarius teachings to put it in perspective. And for me, to see if I'm really upset about something going on or fearful, that this is a reflection of something that I've been involved with before in a past life, so I can put it in perspective and begin to work on a personal basis to see maybe at my own individual past in that cycle. Because I can't change, obviously, what's going on in the world, but I can change the energy within myself by overcoming a particular path, and therefore have a more positive bias and be more positive in my thoughts, which is very powerful, right? To help the world with all of us becoming more positively minded and maintaining a more positive outlook, and that collective energy is very powerful in what we need right now on this planet.
So again, the responsibility comes on the individual, and although we might not be able to change things on a global or historic scale as individuals, we could certainly apply these teachings to the world we know, the world that we're active in, and try to apply these things there and try to create a better world in our personal circle.
Definitely.
So what type of practices does Aenarius have to help you become more aware of this process of spiritual learning that we're here to accomplish?
You know, that's always an interesting thing, because, excuse me, hold on a second. It's interesting to recognize when something's a past life therapy item or something from the past, because we're so used to just letting them fly by and walk right past them and just, you know, go on to the next thing and go to work and, that guy almost ran into me and, you know, scared me for a minute, but I'm safe. But what, you know, and we just go by these things. And I remember this is something that a lot of us used to hear from new students, and I did it myself when I first came. It's like, what am I going to have a reliving? You know, and they always laugh, you know, and then you learn that, well, yeah, your life is reliving, you know. And that's why they were laughing. Everything, you know, you just haven't realized it. So, but to become more aware of these things, for an example, we have writing in a journal about something. One of the things we use is called the Chart of Self-Mastery. It lists a number of things, your fears, your phobias, and things like that. And you basically check off how many times you've had these things. And just doing that with an objective mindset, you notice that after the exercise should be done for 3 months, by the end of the 3 months, you won't be doing these things anymore. So, that's one of the things. And another thing is that we have another sheet, which is a single line thing. This is good and bad things that happened as a child. I find this interesting because when I filled out those things, and maybe there was 5 or 6 real, traumatic things I remembered, just burning myself and doing other kid things, getting yourself into trouble. But I noticed that, hey, there's a couple of these things that have come back even when I was an adult. So there is that recurring cycular aspect again. So it's good. Then you can see, hey, that's something from the past that definitely identifiable right there. And then it just takes time of doing these things, and then you start to kind of have a knowing that it's something that just doesn't feel right. Maybe be the best way I could think of how to describe it. That is something. Something's going on here. Yeah, I can look at this.
Thank you very much, Jack. Celeste?
Well, I think number one is not to get caught up in just going about the motions and being robotic about your life and not questioning and asking some deep questions. Certain things keep happening, as Jack was saying, good, bad things that happened in my childhood, and then they're recurring patterns. Why does this keep happening to me? Or I'm not good with relationships, and I tend to attract the same person over and over again. Or I'm really frustrated in my job, and I feel like this isn't my life's purpose. Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? So it's allowing oneself to have the time, because a lot of people keep themselves very busy and very preoccupied with social media all the time, to make some quiet time, whatever you want to call it. Some people might call it meditation, but quiet time to reflect. And that's where we like to use the journal, to have set periods of time, particularly in the evening after a full day, to write down some of the key things that happened. And particularly if you've had something that brought up some strong emotional reactions and negative thoughts, because that's the first clue that you're in phase with the past life. That's a regeneration of those same negative emotions and thoughts you had in the past. And so you start with the present to analyze your consciousness, and then be open to ask questions, and then kind of let it go, because if you keep going around with it, you're not even going to get an answer with your conscious mind. That's not being aligned with your higher self. And the answers can come in a moment. Sometimes when people are driving, taking a shower, in dream state, you get information because you are starting to work with your spiritual guides. And often we've, those of us who are on the path to learn about our past lives and make progress, we've been shown these past lives before we incarnated, or in state we're shown them in their teaching centers. They're helping us to see them and then to learn the lesson from them. And once you have that lesson, you have a positive change. It could be as basic as having a tremendous change in attitude, but there's usually some outward change in your life as well. And then you've truly known that you've learned that lesson, and you've had what we call a spiritual healing, where those waveforms have actually been changed to a positive bias in your psyche. So they're not going to regenerate and come back in future lifetimes to express in, say, an accident or a situation where, you keep attracting the wrong person, so to speak, in your life. And then you're creating and building your higher self, because that's the goal on this planet. That is one of the main things of why we're here, is to learn from our life experiences, learn the lessons, and develop our higher self, our higher mind, that becomes a permanent part of ourself and eventually is going to allow us to move on to planets that are of a higher development, and eventually how many eons from now we can be one of the master teachers on the inner worlds as the teachers that we are working with through our inner consciousness now.
And that's a wonderful thing to strive for. That's a great cosmic level spiritual adventure. And it's very empowering to know that we can become aware and we can become part of the process of learning, and at the same time, part of the process of helping others learn as well. You had mentioned dreams before and past life remembrances. Can we explore each of those in greater depth? Because dreams are interesting in that, like you were describing the incarnation process, you're drawn into scenarios in your inner self. And that's automatically, you know, you can't plan on having a particular dream and train yourself to do it over time, to pre-program your dreams. But most of the time, you just find yourself in the middle of a dream, and the dream, you know, proceeds, and that too contains lessons that you can learn. So I guess if we could explore those a little bit in greater depth as tools for learning life lessons.
Yeah, I can talk about two in particular that I'm aware of. One would be a symbolic dream, and another one would be a past life memory in dream. And because, for example, with the past life memory thing, I'll use myself as an example. I had one where I was looking out of I was in confinement somewhere, and I was looking at an old, there's a thick brick wall, you know, stone wall with a half moon kind of shaped window with some bars in it. And I would always have the same feeling of wishing I was outside so bad. And then it would end with some kind of jolt that would shock me out of my dream and into being awake in the middle of the night. And it would come around for weeks, and I'd get it every other day. And then it went away. And then it came back again when I was in, I think, my and then it went away, and then it came back again in my 20s. So, you know, that to me, at the time, I was like, what the hell? I have no idea what this is. Why am I seeing this? You know, and it was shocking to me, you know. So, you know, and then I learned, you know, that was a past life where I had been imprisoned, and I believe that was the end of my life right there. I don't know for what reason, how it happened. Maybe I'm assuming blunt force, because that's what would happen. It would just be like my whole body would just jump, and I'd be there awake instantly, just going, oh, my gosh, you know, another shot. You know, so.
Wow.
So that's an example of one. And then I can learn from it. See, I don't have those dreams now that I realize that. That's gone. And, of course, you know, you have to look at it this way. What did I do to get myself in that situation? You know, but we did something. And then the other symbolic kind of dream, those are fun because I used to get I've had a couple of real interesting ones. Probably forgot half of them. Like for example, one of them that really helped me is I was on a bus. In my dream, I was on a bus, and there was somebody sandwiched between me, the back of me and the seat, the back. But they were like crippled and like hanging on to me, like grasping on around me. And when I saw that dream, you know, I had that dream and woke up, it was kind of it moved me. You know, I just didn't go, oh, well, what was that about? I kind of just went, wow, I knew that meant something. That really is something for me to look at. What the heck? You know, and so at the time I had been dealing with rheumatoid arthritis and it was tearing me up pretty bad. Had to rely on medication and all that stuff, you know. So when I realized that this was one of my victims from the past, the best way to describe the way this fellow looked that was hanging on to me was like a physicist, Stephen Hawking. Really, really kind of bent up, you know. Really unfortunately, you know, misshapen. And when I realized that this was one of my, you know, things that I've done because I was alive in the Inquisition and not doing wonderful things. It was amazing how, like within a day, I just remember thinking like I'm feeling like I'm getting my energy back, like my old energy, and then I was able to. I don't think I had my medication for a year after that, gone. But I really experienced a great change in that. You know, so it shows you the power of just seeing these things and recognizing that there's something to take advantage of. Like I always say that, I always call it an opportunity, you know, and it is. So that was something that was not really literal, and I call it symbolic. You know, then I had other ones where like I was like a turtle, you know, and I, you know, like a just going really slow moving, and that one, you know, I had to think about that one for a while, but you know, it was a time where I wasn't utilizing these. You know, I wasn't moving forward. You know, I wasn't taking advantage of these things that I'm talking about right now. And the kind of, I think the brothers have a sense of humor. We haven't talked about the brothers. you have to definitely make an attunement with where these teachings come from. And, you know, we call them, you know, the brothers, but they're really a countless number of individuals who have all learned the proper use of energy, you know, how to live life, I think is what Yogananda used to call it, how to live, schools of how to live or something like that. You know, and it's the same thing where, you know, the brothers are telling us with these teachings, this is how you live and this is how you move. And that's how you go through life and not misuse the energy because you're creating your future when you're doing things. So when you're, you know, behaving a certain way, you're doing it positively and adding to your future, or are you just regenerating something that's going to keep you here, keep you in a spot, you know, keep you in that wheel, you know, like that squirrel cage, just going around, you know, you need to get moving. And so making an attunement with the brothers is the way we always do it. And the best way, I think, is just to read one of the books that the brothers have brought through with these teachings and get your awareness up of the higher realms and get the attunement that way. And then you get help. That's the other thing. You know, we talk a lot and didn't mention that, you know, when we see these pictures, that where do they come from? You know, I'm not making that picture of that bus. You know, that was something given to me to help me to do something and to show me. And it helped, and it really did. You know, my doctor was kind of looking at me going, you're in like the 5% of the, you know, 5% of people who heal. Most people never get this way from, you know, severe rheumatoid arthritis because that's what I was initially diagnosed as severe. So it's just, I just love it because of the past life therapy. It's just so good and wonderful. Man, this was a great thing. You know, I think it's, I like
it. He was on a roll.
Yeah, wow. That was a lot and very insightful and, again, more to meditate upon. Celeste, how would you answer the question? Would you like to expand on what Jack showed?
Well, dreams are really reality. It's just a different state of consciousness, right? And you certainly can learn a lot from dreams. Keeping a dream journal helps because a lot of times when you first wake up, you remember, and then you don't. It's gone. But Jack mentioned the chart of self-mastery where you're working with certain key character traits of yourself that you carry from lifetime to lifetime. And maybe you have a quick anger, you know, you're a jealous person, you're guilt-ridden. So I was keeping this chart when I was first a student, and I left a key thing out, and that was being selfish. I was the only child till I was 7, and my parents reinforced that I could be selfish because I didn't have little brothers and sisters when other kids came over not wanting to share my toys. You know, I wanted them taken care of a certain way. So I had this dream, and in my dream, it was like I was in one area of town and then drove on the freeway to go home. And, of course, you know, you can shop close to home or out where I work. All of a sudden, there was this new, like CVS right down the street from where I work. And it's like, wow, they built this just for me right here. How convenient is that? And I woke up, and again, sense of humor, but I woke up and went, oh, I forgot that I can be selfish, self-centered. And the dream, again, sense of humor, that was showing me that I needed to put that on my chart and be aware of it. So dreams can be really powerful and definitely a tool to learning about oneself.
And also, again, as Jack had pointed out, sometimes they could be a reality in of themselves, and sometimes it can be symbolic, and it could be teaching you something through the use of symbolism. And yes, I have found when I've worked with my guides that they have a sense of humor. and that's all the thing. Jack had mentioned also like meaningful coincidences, like something popping up in your world on television or in a song or something in a conversation. And then if you don't get it the first time, reality will give it to you several times, like synchronicities. That's a very powerful way I found of learning, too. And of saying, okay, I get it. You know, thanks for drawing it to my attention.
Yeah, you're relative to it, so you're attracting it. Like, you know, maybe it's there all the time, but because you're in phase or in consciousness with it, whether you're overtly aware or not, then suddenly it's there in your life or it's right in front of you and you start seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
How is a master teacher, somebody who's graduated from our schoolroom of life, and as you pointed out many times in the past, that the schooling never ends. So if you graduate from Earth and its lessons, it doesn't necessarily mean you're done with everything. There's still a ways to go, and you could backslide. But what would a perfected human being be like?
We don't know. It's too hard for us to understand. We can't conceive that. You know, basically, I think Jack already said it. It's someone who's learned life lessons living in the earth planes through their experiences and also learned about how to function through their minds so that when they are on the other side, they can stay there because they understand the energy principles to directly use their mind to create what they need on the other side because there's no physical body. And so the progression is we're not there yet. It's our future, but these individuals no longer have a psychic body like we do. They have developed spiritual body, and then they have a lesser body, but it's still not a level of the physical body. And so not to worry about. We really need to focus on where we are right now and focus on our own lives and take advantage of the opportunity that we have in front of us. We don't want to end up on the other side and be shown, oh, you know, I missed this opportunity that I could have worked more in this situation to learn the lesson more, and now I'll have to come back again. There's no judgment about that, but you're just slowing down your progress, and you can even retrogress if you let yourself get too involved in situations that regenerate the negative past instead of moving forward. And we have done this for myself and my husband and other Unarian students, where we've regenerated the negative past more than we've learn the life lessons and move forward. So we actually regress to the point after the civilization of Orion was destroyed that on the inner worlds we were told we'd have to start over. We'd unravel our psychic part of our psychic body so much that we had to incarnate back in a more primitive body lifetime, and we came in on the Lemurian continent before the higher beings visited from planet Lemuria and started the, the ball rolling to bring higher understanding and to help the civilization to progress rather than taking eons for it to happen. So mind-boggling to think about it all. Again, you have to start with the here and now.
Right. In the here and now, a lot of people are like a lot of the conspiracy theories that, that people are buying into. I heard one recently, one of the hosts on one of our other shows, he had talked about this, and I'd heard it from other people subsequently, how they're afraid of getting the COVID-19 shot because they're afraid that there are nanobots in there that are going to be inside our body to control it. And every time I hear that conspiracy theory, I remember Lemuria. It's like maybe everybody's remembering Lemuria, you know, and the whole thing there with human robots, and maybe that's where all this fear is coming from.
Oh, that's a good point. That's certainly a past life remembrance, because I would be surprised if we had that technology available right now.
Right.
I think we'd see better stuff than we have, like, you know, looking around my kitchen, you know. not that I have bad stuff. It's just a, you know, nanobot technology. That's pretty there. But, yeah, that past life memory.
Yeah, because in Lemuria, we had robots with the programming and everything.
Yeah, so these conspiracy theories don't come out of nowhere, same as science fiction doesn't come out of nowhere, because it's based on past life memories, whether people are aware if it's a past life memory or not. And where it becomes unintegrated and crazy with the present is that how people are so, like you could say, it seems so normal or natural to them because it's part of their psychic, that they can't discern that this is not reality now in the present. There's something crazy about this, you know, logic and reason and facts, right? Facts,
right.
Science don't fit with this. So when people get real, that's the same as someone who becomes schizophrenic. When someone becomes so in phase with these energies from the past, they can't discern, they're lacking that hookup with their higher self to get that inner guidance, to be able to question and say, you know, where is this coming from? This isn't right. And so that is one of the issues right now. There's a lot of individuals, particularly in the United States, that are lacking that hookup with their higher inner self for guidance. And they are sort of all over the place, you know, with fears and angers and looking for answers and leaders that themselves may not have a higher hookup and are influenced actually by lower forces or lower entities and have a negative effect on individuals' lives. And then it outpictures, of course, individuals make up society. It outpictures in society as well. So that's why that's our most important thing that we have is our positive mental attitude and mental attunement to be constantly discerning, you know, where are these thoughts coming from? Where are these emotions coming from? And then being selective and not staying on that wave train and doing something to change one's consciousness to a more positive bias. And that's not always easy to do, but we can do it. And I have had proof that it works, and the challenges get greater, but that's part of learning life lessons, right?
Oh, most certainly so. Jack, do you want to add anything to that?
Oh, not really.
Okay. I'll add something to it. Basically, right now, my strongest resonance is with Mediterranean antiquities, specifically Greece, Rome, and Egypt. A lot of my activities focused on that. I'm in the here and now. But in the here and now, we have democracy, which is a Greek experiment, wrestling with republicanism, which is a Roman experiment. And we have a resurgence of all these Mediterranean systems of thought and spirituality throughout the New Age. So in the here and now, these things are still playing themselves out. And there's also the memory of what happens when you let a theocracy gain too much power. What happens when democracy, you know, leads to tyranny? And that's one of the things that Socrates had against democracy, is that most democracies, you know, lead inevitably to tyranny. So all these lessons that we didn't learn as humans in the past are playing out there right before our eyes in here and now, even under their real names. So we have to really stretch our imagination all too much to see what's going on in front of us. So all the things that you've shared are real. You know, anybody with eyes and just thinking about it for a while can see that we never resolved these things in the past as individuals and also as cultures, and they're still playing themselves out, just like they played themselves out on other planets until they get resolved. Like, we haven't come to the position where El was when they finally reconciled the whole war of the sexes upon one or the other, or Adonis, where the past and the present needed to be reconciled so that they could move on. So we're still wrestling with these things, and they're alive before us in the here and now. So even if you don't get stuck in a previous age, you can't escape these things that you're here to see and to think about, and maybe to change.
Well, we always, we look at that as well as being a past. So, for example, the recent stuff that all occurred, January and the recent election and all, we were comparing that and some of us were talking about the Civil War.
Yes.
There seems to be such a big split between the thought, mindsets right now that it's and it's so far apart that it's really difficult to, find any common ground between them. So we definitely talked about that, and some people, it was easy for us, some of us, to really see. So that's been, so we're still definitely reliving these past things strongly.
And that would be the
not
topic.
Not very pleasant either.
Because we're nearing the end of today, and I want to end with plenty of time so that you guys can share how people can find Guarnerius and start exploring all these wonderful teachings on their own.
Okay. Well, we have our main website, www.unarius.org. And we also have a YouTube channel with wonderful clips of videos, classes, workshops. And that is Unarius 33 with the number 33. And we have classes if people are ready for them. We are Zooming them. People send us email and we invite them. They're ongoing classes Sunday and Wednesday evening from 7 to 8:30, where we focus more on learning the energy principles, the true nature of consciousness, and applying the principles of past life therapy. And students, like Jack said, share what they feel they're reliving, and wonderful to hear the testimonials when students learn the life lesson and have what we call a workout, that negative energy is no longer affecting them in the same way, and they've seen a positive change in their life. And there's information on our website about those classes. And then we do have an opportunity to participate in the next New Life Virtual Expo. It's going to be June 5th and 6th, and it'll be through Zoom. Mm-hmm. And this time we're going to move on, because we've done several on Tesla technology. We're going to focus on how to learn from past lives. And it will be Saturday, June 5th. It'll be 4 p.m. Pacific time, which would be 7 Eastern time, and it'll just be a half hour long, but I believe they'll put us in a breakout room where people could ask more questions and continue the discussion. So that's the main stuff I can think of right now.
And there are plenty of ways to connect with Guarnerius. Jack, can you think of anything else for God?
Actually, Celeste covered it. We do have a Facebook channel, Guarnerius 33.
Oh, no, that's YouTube.
Oh, YouTube. I'm sorry. I mixed it up. But
if people want to find out the latest that's going on the top of the homepage of our website under events and classes, there's information there. But also can subscribe to our email newsletter. We call it the e-news. And on our homepage, bottom right corner, there's a link to subscribe. I'm sure some of your listeners today found out about the podcast because we sent out an announcement. And so anything that we have coming up that's new, we will send out announcements that way. And we are finally opening our Inari Center to the public again.
Yay!
For on-site, yeah. And we had some restoration work that had to be done, and that was finished, and the center's all sparkling and ready for visitors beginning tomorrow from 12 to 4. We'll have regular visiting hours on Saturdays from noon to 4 p.m., and then Tuesday through Friday, if people want to visit to start with, we're asking that they email or call us to set up an appointment at least 24 hours in advance. And I'm sure that may evolve back to regular hours again, but, you know, getting people back into knowing that we're there physically to come visit, which will be great to have people once again in the center.
I'll post something on that today. And also, for those who like reading at their own pace or watching instructional DVDs or listening to audio, Unarius has a phenomenally vast library of this information. And I know I have two big shelves in my library downstairs, and I have a shelf here in my office bedroom full of Unarius books and DVDs and all sorts of things. And I cherish them, and they're really a wonderful way, if you don't have a lot of time, to explore this material on your own.
Yes, they can be purchased online on our Unarius.org site. You can see the store there in the link on the left. And the other way you can see what we do is we have classes Wednesday and Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific time. And we do it with Zoom, so people can check out and see what we do. And of course, we encourage everybody to talk, and especially if they are first-timers. We love hearing questions, and we love, as you can tell, we love to answer the questions. So
I'm grateful for that. And I want to thank you both. Celeste and Jack, you're awesome. And I'm very grateful that you are who you are and that you do what you do. And I'm already looking forward to our next conversation. Time moves by too fast.
Well, and thank you. As usual, it's always wonderful being on, and I appreciate it.
Thank you, Hercules, for giving us the opportunity. You're a great host.
You're very welcome, and thank you, too. And thanks to everybody who tuned in, whether you tuned in live as we're speaking or whether you'll be joining us a little bit later on. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures and onwards and upwards. And we're going to end with If You Can Dream by Virginia Apple.
If you can dream, if you can fly, then your heart can touch the sky. But only if you can dream. If love is true and love is real, pain and sorrow soon will heal. But only if you can dream. Dream till you wake. Dream till you feel. Dream till you know it. Dream till it's real. Thank you. If you can dream, then you can be bound by love and yet be free, but only